It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Might you hypnotize somebody?
Yeah, do me.
No.
I swear to you, I follow every instruction to the letter. Still won't work. Come on. What's the worst that can happen?
This is probably my second favorite Kevin Bacon horror film. Behind Tremors. Tremors is still my favorite.
Yes. Punch him in the junk.
Yes, we know.
It's so good.
Tremors is your favorite,
it
yes.
Is.
Whatever door you open in my brain, I want you to shut it. Now.
I liked every aspect of this movie. It fit totally in our haunted theme.
When he couldn't sleep and he goes downstairs and he sits down on the couch, he reaches for the remote control and then sits back and she's sitting there next to him.
Yeah.
And it was like, ah!
Shut up! Shut up!
Well, you can see her entire knuckle and her fingers popping up.
Yeah.
And her whole nail popping up.
And you're like, ah! Yeah. Hand trauma!
Yep.
Ooh. Oh, shit!
He saw a ghost, didn't he? She's asked for something and now she's waiting, getting more and more pissed off that he's not doing it.
It's the fucking changeling.
Yes, it is.
It's the fucking changeling again.
Well, except nobody tried to rape the kid of the changeling.
What?
This is the most important thing that I have ever done in my whole life, in my whole stupid life. And you want me to just stop? No! No, I won't stop! I won't stop! I won't stop!
My friends, this is Cash Wampum wishing you all a happy Halloween. This 103rd episode is coming at you October 31st of 2020. We're continuing with our haunted theme. If you're a supporting patron and have access to our cutting room floor episodes that we release midway through the month, then you should already know which films we'll be focusing on for the remainder of the year. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to support the show, we invite you to head on over to patreon.com/horror101 and consider dropping a pledge. This time around, we're focusing on a late 90s haunted house film that's based on an old novel by Richard Matheson. If that name doesn't ring a bell, he was directly responsible for The Legend of Hell House, The Devil Rides Out, and almost every AIP Edgar Allan Poe film that starred Vincent Price in the 60s. He's written for the original Twilight Zone and Star Trek shows. The man has some serious writing credits to his name. And for this 103rd episode, we're going to give the Horror 101 treatment to David Koepp's Stir of Echoes, starring Kevin Bacon, with eggs, hash brown, and toast.
There's something fishy going on here, and I don't like it. Now, will you please stop eating and tell me if everything's all right?
Murderer! Yes, everything's fine.
What kind of beverage can I get you, sir?
What are you drinking? I'll have what you're having.
Okay, give me a moment.
We have to let everyone know we're actually podcasting on a Friday. Rather than our usual Monday.
Well, people usually don't know what day. I don't usually say what day we
podcast. Well, he usually used the word impromptu incorrectly.
This is impromptu.
Thank you for coming to this impromptu Friday night.
Still not impromptu.
It is kind of impromptu because we hadn't planned on it.
But Nick could be here.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah. Nick will not be joining us, listeners. Nick will not be here for episode 103 because he is in transition. He is moving currently. Like right now, he is throwing a coat of paint on his new joint. He's going to be moving tomorrow. Dude and I will be there to help him with that.
Possibly I will be as well.
So, yes, there will be no Nick McPherson snark for this film, but there's really nothing to be snarky about this movie.
No, this is an awesome film.
Hey, without the East German judge, we'll actually have higher scores tonight, I think.
It's possible.
It won't be as bad as the scores for fucking Suspicion or whatever the hell that fucking pile of shit was last night.
You know what? He had the second highest score, I think, didn't he? Because you gave it a 2.
It was a piece of shit.
You
want to
watch Suspicion tonight?
Terrible.
I'll stick around. We'll watch it again.
I know.
I'm out.
He's like, I'm out. I don't need you for a ride home. Fuck you.
Yep, fuck that. That movie is fucking dog shit.
That was perfect cheese. How's the wine, Helen?
It's really good.
That glass is evaporating quickly.
Not that fast.
Oh, okay. It's down fill to like one bloody finger.
Fill the glass, pants. Fill the glass.
Obviously, you are not knowledgeable in the ways of drinking wine. You do never, ever, ever fill your glass. You have to have some room for it to breathe.
Fuck that. More liquid means more volume for my tummy.
Friday the 13th, you know, listen, it was another iconic film because it was the very first one. I had the classic horror movie death in that because I had sex and then smoked a joint. And as soon as that happens to somebody in a horror movie, especially if they're, you know, a young person, they're dead. I would say the number one photograph that's shoved in front of me by fans to sign is a photograph of me dead. From Friday the 13th, I've got the arrow coming through my throat and I'm covered in blood.
Who doesn't like Kevin Bacon?
Well, if you want to do 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, you can start with this movie, Stir of Echoes. This was late 90s, wasn't it?
Late 90s, like 99?
Late 90s, early 2000s, yeah. I'm not too sure, but to have the star power of Kevin Bacon in an honest-to-God horror film was rare.
Which, I mean, he started his career.
Yeah.
I know,
but I'm just saying he started his career in horror.
Within 3-4 years, he's in like Chariots of Fire and all that
Footloose.
He was boom, he was gone. So for him to come back and actually do a horror film was kind of odd.
Well, I know he's gone back into horror. I mean, he did Hollow Man.
Mm-hmm. Hollow Man, yeah. Well, yeah. That, another 2001.
Yeah. So he's gone back in and out of it.
And Hollow Man was basically the Invisible Man.
It was the Invisible Man. It was just,
you know, a brilliant young doctor.
He's a narcissist. He doesn't listen to anybody else.
So, I mean, he's a dick.
Yeah.
But then he gets the power of invisibility and then just crosses the line and becomes a homicidal dick.
Starts molesting Elizabeth Shue.
You know.
Yeah. The guy that directed this, Brian was asking me to direct this, is David Koepp, the guy who wrote...
He's a screenwriter.
He's a screenwriter. He wrote Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I was going to say. He's done quite a few.
And I'm pretty sure he was the one who directed Trigger Effect.
That's a great movie.
That's a really good
movie. With Kyle MacLachlan and I want to say Elizabeth Shue, but it was? Oh, yeah. My God. Still, this story, it was based off of Richard Matheson's story. We've seen his name a few times now.
Yes.
Because we know him from The Twilight Zone and from Legend of the Hell House.
Yes. But Stir of Echoes, when's the last time you've seen it?
Oh, God.
20 years.
It's been about that long for me.
It's been a while for me. I think I might have had a DVD of it when I lived in Korea. Picked it up on, you know, one of the bootleg stands.
No, I remember renting it when it first came out on video, and I haven't seen it since.
It's been a long time for me, too.
And nobody's talked about it. That's the thing. Until you guys mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing that exists. I'd forgotten about Stir of Echoes.
It's a really, really good film.
I wonder why it doesn't get talked about more.
Well, because it came out right in the wake of Sixth Sense. And that's why. I mean,
1999 is when it was.
That was the last great year for film.
So that's when it came out. It came out like right after Sixth Sense. Everybody thought Sixth Sense was the shit. I personally think Sixth Sense is shit, not the shit. I think it's a terrible film. But everybody kind of loved it.
I don't like Paul anymore.
Oh my God.
Your boyfriend's in it. I apologize.
Bruce Willis.
I like Sixth Sense.
Honestly, the twist... I figured it. There's a scene where he's supposed to be having an argument with his wife in a cafe, and she leaves and he slams the door. Or whatever.
No, it was the their anniversary.
Yes, and when she leaves and he chases her out or whatever, I'm like, he's dead. Like that's what it is.
No, he doesn't chase her out. He just sits there. He lets her leave.
I'm like, he's dead. But because this film came out after Sixth Sense, that's why it's not thought of in the same way. It's kind of like all those films that came out after Pulp Fiction. As good as some of them might have been, like the movie Go is kind of a Pulp Fiction knockoff.
Yeah.
It's a really good film, but nobody talks about it.
All right. Stir of Echoes. Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's watch this, and we will discuss...
I'm sure I will remember more as it goes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Haven't you ever heard about people being operated on when they're under hypnosis?
No, but I don't believe in any of that.
Right.
Really?
All right, Kreskin, prove it. Why don't you hypnotize somebody?
Yeah, do me. Come on. What's the worst that can happen?
What the hell was that?
Time to hit the sack. I love you, and I'm a happy guy.
He's a receiver now. He can't stop it. He can't slow it down.
What do you know about that girl, Samantha Kozak?
She ran away.
What happened?
I'm supposed to dig.
I want to talk to you. You're not yourself right now.
This is the most important thing that I have ever done in my whole life, in my whole stupid life. And you want me to just stop? Whatever door you open in my brain, I want you to shut it. Don't do that!
Can I ask you a question? Does it hurt to be dead?
This seems like a marriage between Sixth Sense and The Changeling. Because Sixth Sense, you got the young boy that's highly sensitive to the other worldly.
Highly in touch with.
And Jake, the little boy in this film, has that, right? Like, the first part of the movie is him talking to something that shouldn't be there.
First of all, you think he's breaking the fourth wall, but he's actually talking.
Yeah, he's talking to the camera, right? Yeah. I like that.
Jake, you okay in there, buddy?
I'm okay. Can I ask you a question?
Okay, time to hit the sack.
An important question.
There we go, big guy. Come on.
And the parents, in typical busy parent fashion, is only half paying attention to the kids, so you can get away with it a lot. And I thought that was good. It felt like a real, typical breakfast table household.
Does it hurt to be dead?
The sun shines, right?
Yeah.
The sun's got the shining.
What I don't understand is how a person that spent most of her adult life in college can believe all that superstitious crap.
It isn't superstition. Come on. I'm practically a licensed hypnotherapist.
Oh, practically licensed. Isn't that like saying I don't have a license? Ow, I just use my arm.
You know, this may come as a surprise to you, Tom, but just because you kicked around the same six blocks for your whole life doesn't mean that there isn't a whole larger world out there. You know what I mean? Doorways you haven't even opened. Things you wouldn't even have the faintest understanding of.
Doorways. Okay, okay. All right, Kreskin, prove it. Why don't you hypnotize somebody?
Yeah, do me.
No.
Why not?
Well, for one, you're hostile.
I'm not hostile. Do I seem hostile to anybody?
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. It was a great party.
This is just getting good. Come on, Lisa. Hypnotize me. Come on.
No, you're drunk.
I'm not drunk.
You're not supposed to mesmerize somebody who's been drinking.
Mesmerize? No, stop. Oh, please, come on, I'm begging you. Educate the savages.
Yeah, and it won't work with that kind of uncooperative attitude.
I swear to you, I follow every instruction to the letter. Still won't work. Come on. What's the worst that can happen?
Somebody turn out the lights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like the mystery. I also like how the hypnotism wasn't heavy-handed. It wasn't over the top. I thought I remembered it being hokier, but no, this viewing, it was fine.
We only got the fraction of it.
Yeah.
Because apparently, like, there was more. After she's like, okay, you can read it and sleep, and then he gets a few flashes and wakes up going, oh, what the fuck is that?
He's got tears in his eyes.
There was a whole bunch of shit that was happening in real time that they were experiencing that we don't know about. They were telling, well, I stuck a pin through your hand and you said it didn't hurt, and you started whining about some guy that bullied you when you were a kid. So they were putting him through a whole bunch of different shit. We just didn't get that.
Yeah. Right.
What the hell was that? What?
Are you okay? You were faking it. You
that
had to
was
be
the
faking.
Weirdest goddamn thing I've seen in my life.
He was faking,
congratulations,
right?
Tom. You're one of the lucky 8%.
Oh, you still have tears on your cheeks.
What the hell did she do to me?
But that first hypnotized scene where he's got his image of what the cinema looks like and she's explaining it and it's instantaneously changing.
Yeah, the walls are black, the chairs are black.
You're in an old classic film cinema, you know, the screen's that, the chair, everything's black. I liked the way that looked.
I liked how you're in your favorite comfy chair and sure enough, the next scene is him levitating in this huge fucking comfy chair.
Off the balcony.
Off the balcony towards the screen.
Towards the screen.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
What?
I don't see it, thanks. Oh, no. Wait, no. Like I was being attacked.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I'll be right back.
So guy gets hypnotized all of a sudden. I like the first, he wakes up and he starts having those hallucinations of his tooth coming out, pulls his fucking tooth out.
And you see that one root
come out.
Oh. That thick of skin or whatever it is. Just
reminds me of Ren and Stimpy. Remember when his teeth came out? Oh, then he pulled all the roots out.
Yeah.
I loved it. And some of the parts I missed. Like, you know, or forgot about, you know, my gosh, the traumas.
I saw you wince twice. It was both times with the nail.
Yeah, well, it was the tooth. It was what got me. Teeth trauma are my thing. And then the nail was like, oh, but you have the hand.
Hand trauma. Right? Yeah. The safety pin through the hand was unfair because that was unnecessary movie.
And the fingernail.
Yeah.
Fingernail popping off.
Yeah, that was nice.
The whole nail just being ripped out.
If you've never seen this film, obviously this is going to be a bit of a spoiler, but I do remember the first time we watched it was when he couldn't sleep and he goes downstairs and he sits down on the couch, he reaches for the remote control and then sits back and she's sitting there next to him. And it was like, what the fuck, man?
Well, that's an obvious kind of great.
That was a good touch.
Very good.
If you're not paying attention, wham, that girl, and she looks like all blue and lit up and ethereal. Yeah. Right? You're like, what is that?
You can see her breath, right?
Yeah. And you're like,
That's like I'm saying, all the budget for this film went to the CGI and the breath effects.
What was it then? An hallucination?
Yeah, a bunch of them. It's hard to explain. It's like all these thoughts just kept coming.
Who was the woman?
I don't know. Maybe somebody I met once and I was just remembering her. She didn't look familiar, though.
Did you fuck her?
You gotta be kidding.
No, I mean, was she someone you used to go out with?
You're jealous of my hallucination? You are pregnant.
You should call Lisa.
No, Lisa, please. She's the one that fucked up my brain in the first place.
Then she has to unfuck it.
Fuck.
Don't swear so much.
I suppose it would be a little bit disconcerting if all of a sudden you were just picking up like little blips of radio signals of things that have passed, things that have yet to come, you know, like little flashes that you really can't put together, but they're there.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where they're altering your life, they're altering your mental well-being and
affecting your relationship, your family.
You're confused, you don't know what to do about it, kind of deal. Yeah, right?
I called everyone who could possibly do it and no one's free.
Call Vanessa.
Huh?
I said call Vanessa and ask her about Debbie.
Anyway, call me back. Bye. Debbie? That's the girl who babysits for them?
Yep.
Oh, great idea. Pray she's free. How'd you know about Debbie?
Samantha told me.
Hey, Vanessa. Are you guys going out Friday night?
Really? And when, especially when she can't find a sitter, and he says something, and he goes, where'd you hear that? And he says, oh, Samantha told me, and she's already moved on to the phone conversation. Doesn't even catch it.
Hi, I'm Debbie. Debbie, hi. I'm Maggie. Thanks for coming. Jake's asleep already, and he hardly ever wakes up. The band could play in his room, and he wouldn't hear it, so you shouldn't have any trouble with him at all. His room's upstairs at the end of the hall. Kitchen's back there. Just help yourself if you want anything. Here, have a seat.
When the babysitter even enters, like, she flashes red, and he gets this buzz.
Like
and
a
he's
warning.
Like, what the fuck? And she's looking at him like, there's something wrong with you.
You scared me. I
people.
I will say that was probably my favorite part of the movie, was the babysitter hearing him talk to somebody in the room. That was probably the best part of the movie for me. I really enjoyed that, because that was the only time when I felt real dread in this. Everything else was either a jump scare or more mystery than fear. But that was good.
I was going to say, because I agree with you, that's probably one of my favorite ones as well.
To have him just stop breathing like that, I think that would have freaked her out.
Yeah, and she's downstairs like, come on, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
She's downstairs, I haven't seen her, I don't know.
Immediately, my mind, whenever I see something like a scene like that with a babysitter checking on something, involved in something, reminds me of the first 20 minutes of When a Stranger Calls. Automatically.
Right.
The scene where the babysitter opens the doorway and the kid's just sitting there on the bed and the light just kind of filters across his face, and then the door is not open all the way, so the framing is fantastic because you can't help but think, who's he talking to on the other side of that door?
Which we can't see.
Yeah, exactly. We That's still a darkness. We can't see
who's on the other side of that door.
It's framed really well.
Samantha says it's always dark where she is.
Who did you say?
Samantha.
But when I first saw it initially, I thought she was involved in the missing. Not that it was a sister or a relative. Oh, I thought maybe she was involved and she was trying to do something to the boy.
Kidnap a witness or
a witness that he probably knows something or something. So I didn't, obviously not till we got to the train station that we clued in that no, it's like it was her sister.
That's cruel, it isn't true.
Don't tell lies.
Samantha was here. She was here in your house.
You're hurting my arm.
Was she here?
Let go of me.
Come on, you're coming with me. Let's go.
The kidnapping seemed a bit odd for somebody who just wanted more information. You think she would have asked more questions instead of just reacting, picking him up and taking him out the door.
Well, her mother works at the train station. She's probably going, that's the other woman.
Yeah.
So she was trying to bring him in. He knows something about Samantha.
But she was at the ticket window.
Where were you taking him?
I wasn't taking him anywhere.
Then why the hell did you bring him to a train station,
I want to press charges.
Look, she came here because of me, all right? I work here. I'm her mother.
Her mother?
When are you going to ask them some questions? When are you going to ask them about Samantha?
Oh?
Samantha is my oldest daughter. She ran away about 6 months ago.
She didn't run away. She was kidnapped or something, and the little boy said he saw her.
We haven't heard from her in a long time. We filed a police report. There's this open investigation. And nobody wants to return any of our phone calls.
He said he talked to her. He said he saw her all the time in his house. He said Samantha's in their house. Is that her?
Stay away from him.
Look at the picture.
Want to file charges?
Yes. No. What?
Come on, let's just forget about it. Let's go home.
Babysitter comes in, gets more than what they bargained for, and is traumatized because of it. We see that a lot too, right?
Yeah.
Are you nuts? What about the next people she babysits for? How could you do that? Who?
Samantha. That girl in the picture, she's the same girl I saw on her couch.
It was a little odd that she spoke through him one time, but said, don't talk to him, talk to me, but then she never did that again.
Is Samantha someone who talks to you sometimes, Jake? Can you remember any of the things that
Don't ask the boy any more questions.
Talk to me.
What did you say?
Huh?
That would have made things a lot easier if she could have just told him what to do, but then they dropped that idea pretty quickly.
Well, I don't think they dropped it.
Would you agree that they're trying to convey to us that at that point she was possessing the kid, using the kid as a medium to communicate with the parents?
Oh, that particular scene?
Because that scene, she's like, ask the child no more questions, talk to me. Okay, well, here's your chance to fucking relay your shit, woman, and then, you didn't do it.
But then to tie into what Helen said, if she's not fully mentally there, she's going to be put off by that.
I don't buy it.
Boy's got the eyes on him, doesn't he? X-ray. Not you, though. Possibly Daddy. They're not the only ones. Tell Daddy to come by and see me a little later tonight. Might learn a few things.
It's basically Scatman Crothers looking over, recognizing that this kid's got powers.
I mean,
he looked
like Scatman Crothers. Come on, like,
you know. It was like a cross between Scatman Crothers and Tony Todd. This guy,
yeah,
right. And he's like, yeah. Tell your husband to come see me. You know, and she goes herself, like, oh, what the hell? And he's like, no, I said your husband. Tell your husband to come see me. And she's like, yeah, he'd never buy it. He's like, hold on a second. He's looking for answers. He's toiling. So why wouldn't you relay that? Somebody might have a fucking clue about what's going on. Here's the number. Why don't you go see them?
How long is he headed?
Just a few days.
What happened? Car wreck?
No.
Child die?
No.
Did he kill someone?
He was hypnotized. Is that what started it?
It comes and it goes. Some people have it for 5 seconds. Some their whole lives. He's a receiver now. Everything's coming in. He can't stop it. He can't slow it down. He can't even figure it out. It's like he's in a tunnel with a flashlight. But the light only comes on every once in a while. He gets a glimpse of something, but not enough to know what it is. Just enough to know it's there.
Jake, too.
Your son? Much better flashlight. Does he know what he wants yet?
What who wants?
He saw a ghost, didn't he? What did it ask him to do?
She didn't ask anything.
Maybe he wasn't listening. She's asked for something, and now she's waiting, getting more and more pissed off that he's not doing it. If he doesn't do her thing, she'll never go away.
So, yeah, I mean, we got to address the 800-pound fucking gorilla or elephant in the room, which is basically, it's the changeling again.
Yeah.
It is very similar to the changeling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even down to the fact that the victim, well, I mean, in the changeling, the victim was...
an infirmed boy and a wheelchair-bound kid.
Yeah, an infirmed young boy. Drowned in this one, it's a slow teenage girl.
So,
mentally challenged.
I don't think she was mentally retarded. They throw the R word around, but she didn't seem like she was retarded. But
she was definitely
slow. Like
she was slow.
Yeah, but I think there was more. You know, it was a little more complex with the changeling.
It was more frightening.
Well, the house was more terrifying, and
well, I mean, just the haunting elements were more
right.
Terrifying.
Plus, Georgie Scott was a damaged person moving into a haunted house temporarily. This was a fully formed family that seemed to be doing fairly well. I mean, all right.
Tom, freeze!
She's here.
What?
She's here.
Well, he went back to the sister-in-law saying, listen, you fucked me up. I want you to unfuck me, like, right now.
Listen to me. Whatever door you open in my brain, I want you to shut it now.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I can do that.
The way that when he goes back into the second hypnotic moment, the cinema's the way it was after she's already explained everything the first time, so that's still held over.
Yeah, someone's here.
No, it's empty.
But there's someone else in there.
No, you're alone in the theater, Tom.
Oh, no.
And he's trying to convince Ileana Douglas's character that, no, there's somebody else in here. No, there's not. It's just you alone. No, there's somebody else in here. Somebody else in here.
And the camera's panning in on the back of...
On the back of the chair. Back of the
yeah. We know who it is.
Right.
You can read the letters now. Right up next to me.
What happened? Are you okay? I think you need to sit down, Tom, because what was happening there was very next level. You should have seen your face. Do you want a beer? Are you feeling better? What happened?
I'm supposed to dig.
And you know what's funny? Like, normally in films, like in horror films, I don't like the comedic relief. She was good. She was really good. It wasn't hit over the head. Like, she just had these dry kind of smart ass comments here and there. They were really well handled.
She's the comedic spiritual cast, yeah, that kind of pops in and out. You know what that reminds me of, where it didn't quite work? Sorry, Kevin, Tenney. Witchboard. Remember Witchboard?
Yes, yes.
That's a little psychic humor. Yeah, remember she kept saying that? It's like, oh my god, shut this fucking chick up.
She's played off as like the flaky sister.
Yeah.
And it maybe it's because she's a good actress. That she can play, like, she can play those smart ass comments really well.
Tom, can you turn around and look at me while I'm talking to you?
Exactly. Don't you understand? I'm supposed to dig.
Why are you digging?
I'm searching.
What are you searching for?
The question is not what. I think we both know very well what, even if we don't want to admit it. Question, Maggie, which you can plainly see I am very busy
trying to answer. The question is where.
But you know what? The only thing is, she was, the ghost was helpful to a point, because when it said dig, bit vague there. Maybe a little more than just dig, because if you want this done now, I need more.
But I think that probably has something to do with the fact that she's a little slow, so yeah. Giving just a little bit of information, you know.
In death, she's slow? Ridiculous!
This is the most important thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, this is the most important thing that I've ever done in my whole life, in my whole stupid life. And you want me to just stop? No! No, I won't stop! I won't stop! I won't stop!
8 years I've known you. Not once have you talked to me like this. Not once. And if you do it again, I swear to God.
The whole, like, relationship breaking down because he's going kind of nuts thing, like, I couldn't get behind that. I'm like, I've seen this 1,000 times. Obviously, I know at the end of the film, everything's going to be fine. I couldn't buy it. Like, I couldn't get into it.
It doesn't always work out fine, because Close Encounters of the Third Kind, freaking Richard Dreyfuss leaves his family behind, and they will never know what happened to him. That movie's terrible ending.
But no, I was joking about the Rolling Stones thing. That actually is my biggest sticking point with the film, is that the wife is written as such a poor character. Like, she knows that he's seeing things. She knows he's affected. She saw him crying when he comes out of the seance.
Mm-hmm.
She sees that he's drinking all this juice, which they never really pay off anywhere else. Like, he's drinking.
I don't know what the orange juice is about.
It was the orange juice, it was beer, it was everything. He was just guzzling everything. But she sees all that. She sees that he's digging in the backyard, and yet she still doesn't believe there's something actually wrong with him. Like, there's just no, there's no tie-up thread to that.
I think she recognizes something's wrong with him, because if she hadn't, she wouldn't have went to see the cop, Neil. She wouldn't have taken their time to go in that seedy area and seek him out and say, what the fuck's going on? Because my kid's seeing things, my husband's losing his fucking mind and his job, and everything's going to shit. So do you know something? Help me out. So I think she believed that something was going on.
But it's just wishy-washy. It's not even all the way through.
But, I mean, and then it goes to, it's like, well, what about us? You know, this is affecting us kind of deal. You know, it's like, this is huge. Like, this is a phenomenal situation that's happening to me right now. I know you don't understand. I know you can't get behind it, but this is something that I have to do kind of deal.
Oh, yes. Okay, Bob, you ready to go?
I'm scared to go home. I want to stay at Uncle Steve's house.
Why are you scared?
Because of the feathers.
What feathers?
I don't know. I just saw feathers.
It's okay. I'll watch them. Okay, it'll be good.
Mom, wait! You forgot this.
And again, it reminded me of Pet Sematary, where she, family tragedy, she's going for a visit to see the family, leaves the husband behind. And then at some point she's like, yeah, why don't you come see me? And he's like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. No, that's not a good idea. No, I'm going to come get you right now. No, don't do that. Don't come here kind of deal. And she cuts off the conversation and does it anyway. Pet Sematary. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct.
Congratulations, you're renting this house with this walled-up young woman in the basement.
Yeah. It's a nice neighborhood.
And it's like, okay, I have to dig. He didn't have to dig at all, he just had to knock a fucking wall down.
Yeah, maybe wall would have been a better word than dig.
Are you still talking about that dig thing?
We were just suggesting, you know, like, why dig? Why not just wall?
Yeah.
Because dig usually means you gotta go down. In this case, he's gotta go to the side.
Dig through the wall.
Brian Stewart, he's going through the wall. He's like, it's Cascamong Tiago.
Yeah.
It's fucking, it's Edgar Allan Poe.
Hi, Ink Cat.
It's the black cat. If there was a black cat in there, I'd have been, I'm out. You hear a cat behind the wall? Nope. Let's move on. Of course, there is much more to this story than what we've shared. We know who the girl is, but what happened to her? How did she get walled up? Who put her there?
And what consequences await Tom and his family now that this secret has been exhumed? The last 15 minutes of Stir of Echoes will give that to you. We're not going to completely spoil this one, though.
It does. I like how all the pieces come together at the end. I like how the flashbacks all kind of make sense. And Feathers was a nice touch.
Feathers was a nice touch, yes.
It was good.
Obviously, this was an addition to the initial construction.
Yeah, this was kind of a fake wall in front of the...
This is where you could have used that fucking cop and superstition going, hey, this room should be bigger. Pace off, I want an accurate measurement.
Dude, houses really have basements you have to walk down a stepladder to get into like that?
I'm certain.
Some do, I'm sure.
That's the first I'd ever seen that.
Fruit cellars, man. Not basements, they're like fruit cellars. Even at the end there when she's putting her coat on and she's smiling, everything's cool. Her body's been found, the work's been done. And she walks into the road and disappears as the car...
That car
must have been driving in reverse. That whole scene was in... I guarantee you that car started out reverse and did a right-hand turn around the corner. So that kind of shit would have taken some engineering.
Yeah.
And as I watch this, I'm like, that's intricate. I really enjoy that. Just to get that ghostly kind of movement.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, just relax. Put your arm down. Just rest it comfortably. Just lean back. Just be very comfortable and relaxed. Trust me. Okay? Close your eyes.
Certainly, Lisa.
Okay, we're going to score this film. We will start at this end of the room. Paul B., score it.
I'll give it an 8.
An 8, yes?
Yeah, with the exception of a couple things, I didn't like the wife's motivations and the wife's actions. I like her. I think she's a very good actress. But I didn't like some of the way she was written.
You just like her tummy.
I did. Plus, your tits, too. So. Score.
She does seem to be lacking in the understanding department, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She was very underwritten. But besides that, yeah, I really, really like it. It still holds up. Like I said earlier as well, I think that... At this time, there were a lot of films that were ripping off either Pulp Fiction in terms of stories that kind of folded on itself, or they're ripping off The Sixth Sense in terms of I see dead people, and is this thing dead, is it not, blah, 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 the questioning horror films. And they weren't always very good. This one is one of those films that was following something more famous, which I think is actually better than what it was following. I think it's better than Sixth Sense. Sorry, Helen.
This is where it happened. This is where I saw her. You know, I was sitting like right here. I reached up for the remote. I leaned back, and there she was. She's like kind of 18, right? Longish kind of hair. Is that what you saw?
I wish you could.
Maggie, please.
Nude.
My score is a 9.
9.
Yeah.
Holy Christ, that's huge.
Yep. I liked every aspect of this movie. It fit totally in our haunted theme. Mm-hmm. I like that it started with a child, and for the reasons that Paul did not like it. I liked it because it actually reminded me of The Sixth Sense, and I really like The Sixth Sense. You guys had complaints about the wife, you know, minimal complaints, but I think she felt, I think, ganged up upon because both her child and her husband were both seeing and experiencing these things, and she had no knowledge and really wasn't getting any of these vibes, so she was kind of left in the dark and not really understanding things until things started, basically the shit hit the fan, so... I'm going to, you know, give her a pass on how her behavior, because she doesn't know what's going on. But yeah, I mean, I've always loved Kevin Bacon, and this is another great role for him. The child was great. And yeah, every aspect of the movie, I had really no complaints.
You just got to get out of here.
My husband is losing his mind. I don't know why, but I think you do. You can tell me what you know, but you can't tell me to go away because I'm not moving.
Brian Stewart?
This is probably my second favorite Kevin Bacon horror film behind Tremors. Tremors is still my favorite.
Yes. Punch him in the junk.
Yes, we know.
It's so good.
Tremors is your favorite. It yes. Is.
This was good. You know what? I'm going to match Paul's 8. Hold on a second.
What about Friday the 13th?
I was going to say punch him in the junk.
Tremors is still better.
So you would put this before Friday the 13th?
Oh, crap. You're right. I don't know.
You're out of your fucking mind.
All right. Yes. Okay, so third. third.
Okay, third. Thank you, Brian. Right. Continue, please.
So, no, it's an enjoyable film, and I'm surprised how well it holds up even 20 years later. The effects aren't really that dated, except for the CGI breath, which wasn't overly done, so I can give it a pass.
It's noticeable, but it's not terrible.
But, you know, like Paul was saying, the dream sequence kind of changing of the environment in the theater look good even now. Yep. Like, it didn't look like crap CGI. It looked good. I mean, it was still passable. I liked it. Him floating in the chair could have looked really cheesy in front of an old blue screen effect, but it fit. Everything still holds together. The appearances of the ghost on the couch looks good. The ending where she just kind of walks off and then vanishes. Everything, nothing screams dated. You know, the effects all work. They didn't cheap out on anything. I think it holds up. The mystery, you know, for a long time, we don't know what the ghost's deal is. We don't know, you know, when she lures the babysitter to the house, we don't know if the ghost is there to kill the babysitter or if the babysitter's involved or what's going on there. So they do play out, like, your mind does cross through quite a few different scenarios before the ending is revealed, so it's not a gimme. You know, it's not not straightforward, you know, very easy to predict. And then once you do find out what the mystery is and it's revealed, it doesn't linger. It doesn't take too long to wrap up. It wraps up within about 10 minutes, which is a nice, good runtime. Like I say, it's an hour and 40 minutes.
100 minutes,
not
yeah.
Not very long, yeah.
So it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's got mystery to last the whole way through, and the pieces do fit together well at the end. A few things here and there, nitpicky, like, you know, can be kind of, you know, explained away. So it's not perfect, but it's enjoyable, and I'm surprised it looked and was as polished as it was 20 years later. It still holds up. So, yeah, it's a solid 8.
I want you to hypnotize me again. All the shit I want it out, I want it gone, I want it all to stop right now.
For me, I'll probably give it a 7.5. I think it's a well-done movie, well-written, but the actual screenplay took elements of a whole bunch of other different ghost story films and gave us this story. Because you had the Scatman Crothers from The Shining,
yeah.
You had the babysitter from Amityville Horror, we mentioned the whole changeling thing, which is the biggest theme of the film.
Yeah.
Elements of Poltergeist, like I said, Sixth Sense, and so to watch this, if you know those other films, then that's going to hit you. If you don't know those other films, I think this is going to give you a great sense of entertainment. It is a good film.
I'm not shocked that there's another woman. Of course, the fact that she's dead gives one pause. We are talking about a ghost here, aren't we, Maggie?
And that's it, my friends. The end of our 103rd Halloween episode featuring David Coop's Stir of Echoes, starring Kevin Bacon, Catherine Irby, and Ileana Douglas. If you're in the mood for a paranormal thriller, you could do much worse. It's certainly no groundbreaker, but it holds up well after 20 years. We say check it out. We hope you enjoyed this show and want each and every one of you to have a safe and happy Halloween this year. It will be moderately quiet around here this evening, but at the very least, the night will end with Night of the Demons in this house. It's a Halloween staple. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
You're giving
I
me so many great
ideas.
Those
bastards. They can't kill me.
Why? And this is why, right? Like, why the fuck would somebody come into my house and say, listen, we're going to kill you and your wife? Like, why would... Buddy, I love you and you love me. Why the fuck would you say
on
this
Halloween
to me?
Halloween this year, you're going to turn off the door in your system. I'm going to find a time when I can come in.
Brian Stewart, I will shoot you. I will shoot you fucking dead. I've seen way too many horror movies to allow this shit to happen. I will shoot you dead. Do not prank me.
I have to learn how to speak backwards. It'll be great.